Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTellier along with Charlotte Long. At 5:45, Steve Geller will join us for our Bet 365 triple option feature, and want to tell everybody at 6:30 tonight right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. The LSU Fighting Tiger baseball team takes on Southeastern. We'll talk a lot more about that matchup when we have Zach Nagy on with us at 5:20, talking a little bit of LSU football recruiting and certainly LSU baseball. And big series coming up this weekend, Charlie, as they play those Aggies.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Texas A&M is going to be kind of pissed off after losing all three last weekend to Texas. So, UT has been rolling all throughout conference play. They're 19-2 in the SEC, which is unbelievable in their first year with Jim Schlossnagel. A&M, on the other hand, they got off to such a putrid start, but then they start getting hot. They picked up a series win against Tennessee at Tennessee. They picked up a series win at Arkansas. And they're starting to kind of figure it out. And you're saying, oh, well, this is the team that was the number one ranked preseason team all along. And then they lose all three to Texas. So LSU going to Aggie land, it's, they're going to be playing a team that's looking for some, desperate for some wins.
You might not like the way Schlossnagel left A&M to go to Texas. That son of a gun can coach. Man, is he a great manager? And he can identify talent so well. And so, man, Charlie, to me, that is a real shocker of just how good. And we thought the Longhorns would be a good team, but I don't think anybody thought they would be this good.
No.
Throughout the season. I never saw anybody predict that, but man, I don't put anything past Schlossnagel. He does a fantastic job of piecing teams together, and he squeezed every bit of the vitamin C out of the orange.
All he does is win, Mike. That's all that guy does. And when you're talking about 19-2 in SEC play for Texas, that's like, that's unheard of. It's unbelievable what they've done. And they keep, people still doubt this team, by the way, you know, and I've said it myself as well that, yeah, they haven't really played anyone super difficult on the road just yet. I think they have an upcoming series against Arkansas on the road, which will be really interesting to see how that works out in Fayetteville. But as far as, you know, just taking the series that they've supposed to have been taking this whole time. And that's what's been super impressive about Texas. As for Schloss, all he does is win. Every single spot he's been in, whether it be TCU, Texas A&M, now Texas, the guy just wins. And so, you know, we'll see what Texas does come postseason play, because some people have questions about their, I guess, depth on the mound. They have really good top line pitchers, but when you get into regionals and you have to get to a game five, game six, potentially game seven, or if you're in Omaha and it's kind of the same situation, how well will they really perform? But at the same time, they just keep proving people wrong.
You got that Al Davis philosophy. Just win, baby. Just win.
Right.
Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to L.A. Cody. L.A. Cody, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, boys. How y'all doing? First, I got
all right, Ellie. How really, you been, brother?
Hanging in there, man. I'm excited about the prospects of what could take place next season. So I got a couple comments real quick. First, I want to give out a heartful and thoughtful comment to Derek Carr. I mean, now that we know what he went through, you know, I wish him the best, and I hope him and his family find a way to recover. That's something really hard. I don't think the fans were aware of it, and I think it's just really sad how he's been treated. But all of that being said, let's just say he does have to get surgery, because now we know that the Saints were aware of his situation. If he has surgery but he can't come back, I was chatting with Charlie. Do you think they would try to go get a veteran? And I heard through the grapevine they were talking about maybe bringing Wentz. And is there anybody else that you see out there in the landscape that they might be willing to bring in so we won't have to bring in Shuck?
I do think that if he cannot, if he goes through surgery, I think the season, if it's not completely lost, is basically over with for him as far as shoulder surgery. Because that's a process to go through that and to come back from that shoulder injury that he has. Yes, I do see them going out and getting a veteran quarterback. You can't enter training camp in preseason with a second-year Spencer Rattler, with a rookie in Tyler Shuck, and a third-year guy in Jake Haener. You're going to have to go out and get you a veteran quarterback somewhere, if it's via a trade. There aren't a lot of guys left over. I think the most interesting situation is, and I don't know financially what he would look for, but and I can't see the Falcons just cutting him loose.
Right.
Would be Kirk Cousins. He becomes the intrigue to me much more than Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron, he's going to go where he wants to go, when he wants to go. Cousins is a different story. He's made a ton of money. He's going to get paid by the Falcons one way or another. Do the Falcons hold this out and say, you know what, it might sound morbid, but I'm going to wait till somebody goes down and gets hurt, and then I can trade him. You know, so Cousins to me becomes the biggest target quarterback if you're looking for a veteran. And I would think Pittsburgh at this stage, Charlie, I don't know how you feel about it. To me, Pittsburgh would seem the ideal spot for him because, you know, they don't have a lot of other options if Aaron Rodgers tells them, I'm not going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's in a weird spot, Mike. They're not, like, similarly with their quarterback room, they're not just going to go into next year with Will Howard, right? I mean, they have, like, after moving on from both Fields and Wilson, everyone thought that they were going to use the premier pick on Shedeur Sanders. It didn't happen. But they used the draft pick on Will Howard. They're the team that definitely needs a veteran quarterback in that room. And we'll see what ends up happening. Like, once again, you mentioned with Kirk Cousins, it might be a longer process to determining where he ends up. It's just hard to imagine that he stays in Atlanta as a very expensive backup, Mike. I can't really see it.
I don't see it at all either. Or is there, and I've talked to some agents, and they don't represent Aaron, but they sort of have a feeling that maybe there's been a sort of a nod, wink, wink kind of deal done with Aaron and the Steelers. The thing about Aaron is, when is he going to show up? You know, is he going to show up for OTAs? Is he going to show up for training camp? Or is he just going to pop up, you know, 10 days before the season starts and says, hey, guys, I got it. You know, I've done this before. It ain't my first rodeo.
Yeah, he plays by his own drumbeat, Mike. And, you know, the thing with Rodgers and the Steelers is I don't really understand the fit, in all honesty. Like, he was... I know Bobby had read off the stats that he was better in the back half of the season for the Jets, and the Jets had defensive problems too, and that's why they were picking in the top 10 this past year. But if you're going into Pittsburgh, and the Pittsburgh defense is ready to win now, right? And so the quarterback would have to be ready to win now. But the weapons that they've got with, you know, George Pickens and then making the move for DK Metcalf, you need someone that can get it down there to these, you know, jump ball possession receivers. Does Rodgers still have that type of arm? I just don't know if he does.
Yes, he does.
You think so?
I think he does, Charlie.
Okay. Well, I then really maybe the fit would work better than I think.
Yeah. As far as arm talent, he's still got it. Now, where he's not the same guy is his movement, the movement skills. Ever since the Achilles, and I can say the same thing about Cousins. He doesn't move. And not that Kurt was a great mover to begin with.
Yeah, they're both
but
statues.
He did have a little bit of drift left and right. Aaron Rodgers could move around in that pocket really, really well. And I think Bobby does have a point here about he played much better in the second half of the season than the first half. And a lot of that because I think he felt comfortable, you know, with his Achilles injury in his leg, much more so than the early part of the season. Man, the Rodgers-Cousins situation, this is why the NFL is who they are. They're going to drum this out all into the summer. And it's going to be talked about just like what you and I are talking about here.
Yeah, and we'll have to see. I think Cousins isn't staying in Atlanta. I'm pretty confident in that. And if Rodgers does come back and play for the $10 million a year that he said on the Pat McAfee show, he's going to have suitors. That's a guarantee.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. Zach Nagy joins us. He does a great job covering the LSU Tigers for SI.com right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skene strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, he covers the LSU Tigers for SI.com. Zach Nagy. Zach, before we start getting into questions, I got to tell you this. I had a package delivered to me this morning. So, you know, I hobbled my way to the door. And he starts telling me, man, I listened to the coverage, draft coverage. Man, y'all did a super job, everything. He said, man, you know who I really like? Man, that Zach guy that y'all have on talking about LSU. I was like, hey, every once in a while, those pops get one good. And so, man, he paid you a lot of great compliments. And, man, we're thrilled to have you back on with us.
Absolutely, Mike. I appreciate you and the kind words as always. It's always a good time talking LSU ball. We're in the midst of a spot right now. You got some transfer portal buzz, recruiting trails going off right now, baseball, et cetera. It's a good time to talk LSU, and it's best to talk with you, of course.
I'll throw it one at a time to you, the transfer defensive lineman they brought in, and then I'll ask you about the big recruit yesterday. Now, getting the commitment from him is one thing. hopefully they get a signature on there, because we all know about that verbal commitment stuff. It ain't worth the piece of paper that it's written on, and there is none. So tell us a little bit about the transfer defensive tackle LSU was able to bring in.
Yeah, so LSU kind of, we know that they were hitting this portal window, and they were going to be quote-unquote quiet. That was Brian Kelly's terminology that he used when he talked about the spring portal window. And the goal was to ultimately not have anybody enter the portal. You see one defensive lineman depart, but in return, you come in and you get a South Florida defensive lineman in Bernard Gooden. And this is a guy who's the number one available player in the portal. Mike, this is a player who is kind of undersized in a way, 6'1", 280, going to get the Baton Rouge this summer and put on some substantial size and be a nice depth piece for this team. Your defensive front is sensational. Your edge rushers are super talented. But Bernard Gooden is a guy who's going to come in and play the interior slot, and he'll work behind guys like Dominic McKinley, Ahmad Bro, Sean Washington, Sadir Mitchell. He's a good piece that has tremendous upside, and I'm intrigued to see how Kyle Williams throws him into the mix. So a player who has experience at the Power 4 level, we'll see what happens next, but ultimately a player who can come in and make a splash, an upside pick for sure.
Getting the cornerback from Los Angeles yesterday as a verbal commitment, and man, his list of schools, you're talking about USC, Ohio State, you can Alabama, you can go kind of go down the list. That's a big catch for Corey Raymond and LSU. Now, again, you got to be able to land him in December and get his name on that kind of contract with LSU. But your thoughts on LSU, which had whiffed on a lot of these big-time corners, but yet the last 2 years with Corey Raymond there, they've been able to land these big-time corners.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a testament to the recruiting efforts of Corey Raymond and trying to bring back that DBU culture in Baton Rouge. Obviously, he helped instill that about a decade ago, and now he's trying to bring it back. And it starts with guys like DJ Pickett. You have Aiden Anding coming in this summer. You have a bunch of transfers that came in, and now you kind of build for the future, and it starts with a guy like Haven Finney Jr., the commitment that they got on Monday afternoon. And this is your prototypical Corey Raymond cornerback, 6'3", 170, 175, a long, tall, lanky player who really covers a tremendous amount of ground with his big strides. So this is a player that they're excited about. And to what you said, of course, it's a commitment now. We're still early. It's late April, and you got to continue to work and push on the recruiting scene to get him to put pen to paper in December, of course. But nonetheless, to get this commitment right now is a testament to the recruiting efforts of Corey Raymond. He's a guy who's really locked down on the recruiting trail. He's a guru. And to go out and get a player from California is big time. We know that their recruiting realm is the Louisiana spot. There's so much talent in the Bayou State. You take as many as you can. But to go out and get a guy from California and to steal him, like you said, from the likes of USC, the hometown team, and then in Ohio State, et cetera. He had the who's who of college football battling it out for his services. And for LSU to get the commitment this early in the game, it's a big one, Mike. So excited to see how they continue to keep their foot on the gas for him. But it all comes down to December, of course, when they put pen to paper. Haven Finney Jr. is a guy that they obviously want in this class, and they'll continue to battle it out down the stretch.
Throwing it now to baseball, man, what an ending. Early Saturday morning, you know, when Bear Pops went out the park. Scott Sanders, we had him on yesterday. He was like, I think the ball might have just landed. Because when you heard that ball come off that bat, you knew one thing, it was out of there. And, you know, there's no love loss between LSU and Tennessee. And, you know, with Coach V, I'll give him credit. He's become the new Steve Spurrier of coaching in the SEC. Baseball style, so to speak. If you got him, you love him. If you go up against him, you dislike him in a high manner. But to win 2 out of 3 against the Volunteers, that was big for the Tigers this weekend.
Yeah, and that's obviously putting it lightly, Mike. You're looking at the last two national champions. You're looking at two powerhouse programs on the baseball scene. And to go back and forth in Alex Box like that over a 3-game series was sensational. Coming back and battling back in the bottom of the ninth on Friday night. I mean, my goodness, one of the best half innings of baseball I've seen in a really, really long time. And to cap it off with a Jared Jones bomb, like you said, I might have just seen that ball come down. I mean, he hit just absolute leather off of that one. So an exciting game in game one. Game two, you struggled a little bit. But to bounce back in game three and come out and have Derek Curiel shine, Cason Evans, to be led by two true freshmen out there on the diamond, I mean, it speaks volumes once again. And I talked about Corey Raymond's recruiting efforts, of course, on the football side of things. But the recruiting efforts of Jay Johnson, I mean, he just continues to go out and get high-level player, high-caliber player, year in, year out. And now you see two true freshmen come out in arguably the biggest series of the season against a top-five opponent. You see Cason Evans on the mound, struggle early, battle back, really handle his business against a top-five team. Derek Curiel, I mean, you can't – there's not much more you can say about Derek Curiel. I mean, this is the SEC Freshman of the Year. He's playing like it every single weekend. Had his best weekend of the year against the biggest opponent of the year. So, nonetheless, just a great series all around. Loved what I saw from the youngsters. Obviously, Jared Jones, your savvy veteran, really coming up when you needed him on Friday night. A great team. They're continuing to hit their stride. I'm excited to see what happens kind of down the line here.
Zach, I wanted to actually get your thoughts. I'm glad you brought up Cason Evans, because listening to Jay talk after Sunday's victory, where they run rule Tennessee 12-2, you take the series, everyone's high spirits. Chris Blair had asked him about Cason and kind of moving him to that Sunday starter role for the first time. That was his first start of his collegiate career, by the way. So I'll put, you know, the two runs in the first inning past him, because he put up five blanks right after that. He was fantastic against a really good Tennessee offense. But, you know, the idea of potentially moving him to that Sunday role, he mentioned that at some point Cason Evans is going to be a Friday night guy at LSU, and you can just see the talent that oozes off this kid's arm. But just how he did when in his first collegiate start, and what his projection is moving forward, because he's been such a vital bullpen piece for this team, but maybe he will be that third starter for the Tigers.
Yeah, Charlie, I mean, you're spot on there. This is a guy in Cason Evans who's young, and he needed to settle in. You got to put those first two innings behind him and just see the product overall. I love looking at the big picture, and when you look at the big picture of Cason Evans on Sunday afternoon, I mean, he was just absolutely dominant down the stretch when you needed him. So, fantastic player, and you saw what Jay Johnson said after the game. Other than his wife, Maureen, Cason Evans and Zach Cowan are two of the most important people in his life. So he obviously thinks extremely highly of Cason Evans. And just him being a true freshman, I mean, he's just scratching the surface, Charlie. This is a guy who has just tremendous potential. You continue to let him evolve in Baton Rouge and the sky's the limit. Jay Johnson alluded to that by saying that he will be a Friday night starter by the time he leaves Baton Rouge. So a guy who, like I said, just scratching the surface. The sky's the limit. Really, really excited to see him continue to evolve. Fantastic first start of his career. But once again, I mean, it's going to get scary for a guy like Case, and he is a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete.
Zach, size up this weekend series against A&M. Now, they got their nose rubbed in it this week, past weekend. Texas sweeps them out and their former coach. But, you know, people say, well, they're going to come in a bad mood. Well, a lot of times you lose three straight like that, it kind of tests your confidence a little bit. And now you play in LSU. So your thoughts on kind of how you would size up this matchup between LSU and A&M this coming weekend?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. LSU obviously dropped a midweek matchup last week, came into the weekend series against Tennessee with a fire underneath them. You come in and you battle back in game one on Friday night. So obviously when you lose, you want to be more passionate. You want to come out with more fire. We'll see Texas A&M do that after getting swept. I think you're going to have another challenging series. Obviously it hasn't been a year that the Aggies have wanted to this point, but it's the SEC, Mike. Every single weekend, every single opponent is fierce. Every single one has the opportunity to come out and win a series. It doesn't matter if you're at the top or the bottom. Everybody is so competitive this year. It's fantastic. There's so much parity in the league right now. So I think when it comes to Jay Johnson and the rest of the staff, you have to come out and put the rankings, and you can't overlook anybody. You got to put it behind you is what I'm trying to say. So excited to see how they do that. Start off with Cade Anderson on game one and see how he starts to get the series cruising and rolling out here. But you can't overlook your opponent. There's too much parity in the league. I think the Aggies are coming off of a challenging series. Got to watch out for them, because they're going to come out with a fire lit underneath them.
Zach, before we let you run, I wanted to ask you about the NFL draft and some of the LSU players that got selected, and just start right off the bat with Will Campbell going fourth overall. It was the worst kept secret in the pre-draft process. Everyone knew who the top three were going to be, but Will Campbell was always kind of locked in to be the Patriots' fit at left tackle and be the blindside blocker for Drake May's future. But hearing Mike Vrabel's comments about him got me fired up, you know, doing reports on him for the week. You know, he said that it was an easy, easy pick. And it just felt like if you put Will Campbell and Mike Vrabel in the same room together, they're just going to instantly become like best friends.
Yeah, they are. And there's so much passion between both of them. I mean, having the opportunity to talk to Will over the last couple of years, just one of the most serious, disciplined players that I've ever been around. He is so passionate about the game of football. And you got to see a little taste of that after he got drafted when he was up on stage, just basically saying that he's going to die for Drake May, his new quarterback. And then once he obviously got to New England, he was talking about how he's a quarterback guy. You can ask any of the players that he's been around, whether it's Jaden Daniels, Garrett Nussmeier. He's going to live and die on that field and do anything he can to protect his quarterback. So seeing him go to the next level and be the number four pick in the draft, like you said, one of the worst kept secrets of all time, but nonetheless, a fantastic spot for him. Love where Will's going over there in New England. Think it presents a tremendous opportunity. You see guys like Mason Taylor go in the second round. I'm excited to see what happens with him in the future. Tremendous ball player who's just scratching the surface himself. So LSU was well represented in the NFL draft. A lot of guys have tremendous opportunities to take that step in year one. Really intrigued to watch it play out for a lot of talented former Tigers.
Zach, everybody asked me the same thing. You got four offensive linemen drafted. How come we struggled running the football?
$1 million question, huh, Mike? I mean, you sit back and you look at these, you look at the run schemes that they might have run that didn't quite pan out the way that they wanted to, maybe some complexity that didn't pan out, and I'll keep emphasizing didn't pan out because obviously it was a challenge. But nonetheless, four starters getting drafted is a tremendous feat. Kind of sit back and make you scratch your head, right? Why they struggle so much in the run game? $1 million question. And there's a reason why a lot of those guys get paid the big bucks, and it's not me.
And it's the first time since 1947 that LSU's had four offensive linemen selected in one draft class. And I didn't cover that draft class either. So, Zach, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your insight. Keep up the great work.
Of course, Mike. I appreciate you and Charlie. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks so much, Zach Nagy. Does a great job covering the LSU Tigers, if it's baseball, basketball, football. And lucky to have him here on the Big 870 WWL. We come back, it'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature coming up next. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. It's our Bet 365 triple option feature. Mike DeTillia along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller. Steven, go first.
Guys, looking at the social media on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Tyler Shuck had a tweet last night. Said, God's timing, if it was easy, everybody would do it. New Orleans, you will get everything out of me. Who dat? And then there's four pictures along with his post. One is him and his family after getting drafted. There is another one of him at Oregon, and it's clearly in the picture with Saints tight end Juwan Johnson. The other was his time at Texas Tech. And then the final shot, it's him at Louisville. And he's holding his hand up, and if you look at the scoreboard in the background, and I don't know if this is intentional or not, and if so, it's some all-pro trolling already by the new Saints quarterback. You can see 28-3 in the background. So shout out to Tyler Shuck for already getting, you know, initiated into the Who Dat Nation, getting onto their good side, and hopefully it was an intentional jab at the Atlanta Falcons right there.
Steve, it's funny. We've had numerous people come on, if it's been Chris Redman, Archie Manning, you name it, that come on to talk about Shuck. And everybody has been so positive about him. Now, again, you know, you go on social media, everybody's got an opinion, and that's what they got it there for. It's a wide variety of opinions there. But the people that we've had on, quarterbacks, former quarterbacks, every one of them have praised Tyler Shuck.
Yeah.
And they think that he's going to be a difference maker on this football team. And so that's a different spin than if you just, you know, on X or Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Now, like I said, again, everybody's got a different opinion on things, but the people we've had on have all spoke super highly of Shuck.
Looking forward to see what he can do and getting a glimpse of it come rookie minicamp next weekend.
Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with a real fun one from Jonathan Givony. You know, we're talking about, I think it's 13 days away from the NBA's draft lottery. And right now, only 106 players have entered the 2025 NBA draft. And that's the lowest number of early entrants since 2015, guys. The peak of it was 363 in 2021. It's like a third of that number when it was at its peak. And if you look at the bar chart, a lot of this has to do with NIL money in college hoops right now. And these players are, you know, staying in college for longer. Cavoni calls it a quote-unquote boon for college basketball to retain so much talent. But I just thought that was really fascinating. We're not really in the era of the one and done anymore, guys, I don't think. There's going to be a couple of those prospects that are just can't miss guys that will go in the top five as freshmen, like, you know, multiple players this year. But at the same time, expect a lot of these really talented college basketball players to stay in college because they're making money with the NIL.
Charlie, it's funny you say that because we've seen a little variance also in the NFL of guys coming out early for the, you know, from the college ranks to the NFL because of money there too. And this is going to trickle over also into college baseball the exact same way because the money's there for a lot of these young men. And you can see that, you know, everybody kind of complains about some of the negatives. But if I can keep that player, if I'm a college team and some cohesiveness, if it's basketball, baseball, football, I would want that. That to me, that's a plus. Now, again, because of the transfer portal, it doesn't mean that you're going to play at the same school, but they seemingly, the trend now is more toward them staying at all three major sports, football, baseball, basketball, staying in school longer.
And a lot of players kind of opening themselves up to bidding, you know, going to the highest bidder, whichever school will pay me the most money to stay in college versus, you know, testing the water in the NFL drafts. I think it's a really fascinating thing to kind of follow. But just the numbers that Cavoni had given out, that it's basically cratered since 2020 when these rules kind of really started coming into place. I thought that was fascinating. Only 106 players entering the 2025 NBA draft early.
Guys, last night we had Archie Manning on, and he made a comment that in talking, because he had told me ahead of time, I'll have a comment about Kelvin Banks Jr., and it's a positive one, a real positive one. And he talked about, he thought this was late October, early November, in talking to Arch about Texas. And Arch told him, the best football player on this Texas football team is Kelvin Banks Jr., and he's our leader. I mean, could you get a better recommendation? Now, Arch wasn't the starting quarterback there, but, you know, come on, you around all those guys. Texas got talent. I mean, they got players all over the board. So for Arch Manning to make that comment, you know, to his grandpa about Kelvin Banks Jr. and about his leadership skills and also his talent tells you what the Saints got here. And hopefully they don't mess around and start this stuff where he'll play left guard. Put him at left tackle. Move Fuago over to right tackle. You know who's your center. You know who's your right guard in Cesar Ruiz, your center's McCoy, and figure out the left guard spot. But if you can get that right, and if Shuck plays like everyone has spoken about him, then you've got something if you've hit on a left tackle and a starting quarterback in one draft class.
Sold. Yeah,
all those low draft grades that nobody really cares about because you can't grade players before they actually touch an NFL field.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that either, Charlie.
You can kind of throw that in the trash if that's the case, Mike.
Yeah, I get that all the time. You give us a draft grade. Man, I ain't doing none of that. I ain't seen them play pro football
it's
yet.
It's such a stupid process.
Check back with me in October, and I'll give you a much better grade. That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. We're finishing up here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 in the 5 o'clock hour. I want to tell everybody at 6:30 tonight, LSU plays Southeastern in baseball, and you can hear that game right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. I have a texter ask about James Burnip, who kicked at Alabama, and he's from Australia. And you talk about a dude who's big, because he measured out when he went to the combine. At 6'6" 3/8", 235 pounds. Now, he looks like a tight end. Man, can he pop it? And I'm interested here because, man, a big guy like that was kicked in You know, when you're kicking in Alabama or Florida, like Crenshaw got picked by Sean Payton in the books. Man, listen, that's some thick air you're kicking in Gainesville a lot, or in Florida in the SEC. Same thing with Burnett. I'd keep an eye on Burnett as an undrafted free agent signee by the Saints. A huge guy. Man, does he have an overflow when he hits the ball? He's got some leg strength, and having played Australian rules football, he's very good at getting these kind of coffin corner kicks inside the 20-yard line. So that's a name to keep in mind, especially as we head into the OTAs and the training camp period. James Burnup, and they had a rookie last year from Vanderbilt a kick for the Saints. But Burnup, man, he looks more like a tight end than he does as a punter.